as those two games happened, I couldn't help but feel like the biggest beneficiaries were Stanford and Clemson. Now, that may just seem like an obvious statement, but, and I don't know if I'm throwing a curveball here or maybe you agree with me, but I feel like Wisconsin was a bigger threat to Stanford and Clemson's national championship hopes than Oklahoma was, because Oklahoma always controlled its own destiny. To some degree, Oklahoma State still controls their own destiny now. Wisconsin was the team I was concerned about for Stanford and Clemson, because if all three of those teams went undefeated, with the way that Wisconsin was looking and the way that they were rolling over teams, I felt like they might have ended up, when it was all said and done, ahead of those two teams and Boise State in the computers. So with them out of the way, the path has really opened up for Stanford and Clemson, because they obviously have tough games left on their schedule, but so too does Oklahoma State. I'm not so sure Oklahoma State's going to run the table. So
yeah, you know, Stanford and Clemson are definitely the top two beneficiaries, I think. And you could even make a case that not as much, but a little bit further behind them is Boise State feeling pretty good, only because, like you said, Stanford and Clemson still at least have some games that could trip them up. I mean, Clemson, the path looks pretty good. But for both teams, there's a chance they might lose. And if they do, to have eliminated Oklahoma and Wisconsin, and then those teams still have games left, maybe there is a scenario, a dream scenario, but still a scenario that gets Boise State back into the discussion.
Definitely, because Boise State, if there's no reason they're not going to finish undefeated. Right. I mean, looking at their schedule, there's no reason. Now, the positive to that is you're going to be undefeated when it's all said and done. The negative, of course, is that that Georgia, your signature win, came way too early. The TCU game, that's their big test, but that comes at home, and TCU isn't going to be necessarily respected as a huge test. But if they're undefeated, yeah, Stanford could lose this game to USC. Mm-hmm. They could lose to Oregon. They could lose the Pac-12 championship. Clemson's going to have to deal with Georgia Tech this week. South Carolina at the end of the regular season, the ACC championship. Oklahoma State has a bunch of tough games to get through. Kansas State, of course. So there is, all of a sudden, because I thought Oklahoma and Wisconsin were both going to run the table. Now, all of a sudden, yeah, there's a realistic shot that when it's all said and done, whoever wins that Alabama-LSU game is undefeated, and Boise State is undefeated. Yeah. And at that point, you just can't keep Boise State out of that game. It's been too long coming. So you're right. Maybe that's what happens in their dream scenario.
Yeah, and the fans in Boise, they may be a little nervous this week because, you know, the BCS came out and they were ranked number 4. Great spot for them. I mean, you can't, you got to love it right now. Now, the question that I'm going to really wonder the answer to for the computers and the polls is, Stanford and Clemson both have meaningful road tests this week. Big games against teams, you know, the Georgia Tech game doesn't look as big as it should have been, but now the USC game for Stanford looks bigger than we thought it would be, because USC has established itself as a legitimate team.
Yeah, I need to do a complete 180 from last week, because we were talking about this whole BCS standing because we thought all these teams were going to go undefeated.
Right.
And I was saying, where is Stanford's big road test?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
And here it is. This is it. This USC team is absolutely legitimate. That win over Notre Dame, what impressed me so much about USC is how far their defense has come in a very short period of time. I mean, all of a sudden, in their last two games, they've given up only 38 rushing yards a game. They've given up only 298 total yards a game, only 13 points. To Cal and Notre Dame, two respectable offenses.
Yeah, Monty Kiffin, I think he heard the criticism. I think he took a really long look at his personnel and his philosophy. And we wondered for so long, how can Monty Kiffin's defense play as bad as it has played? This guy's track record is too good to produce the results he's produced. So something has changed in that locker room. Everybody's more accountable. You can just see them flying to the ball a lot better. And the personnel has been there, I think. The talent has been there. Some people think it hasn't been, but I really think it has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're finally buying in fully. And you know, I think when you win in a season like this, where there wasn't a lot to play for, but you get on a win streak, and now you have a meaningful game, like a bowl type of game this week, that's when you start to buy in philosophy-wise to everything your coaches are telling you, and I think it's really starting to translate.
The Cal game looked like a good old-fashioned USC game to me, but I wrote that off a little bit as it being Cal. Mm-hmm. But to do that at Notre Dame, a team that I respect a lot this year, really put it in perspective for me that this USC team is legit, and looking at the rest of their schedule, there's this Stanford game that they could lose. They could, of course, lose the Oregon game. But I could see them finishing with only three losses on the year. And they could obviously win this week. Who knows? So this is a very legitimate team. We were kind of wondering last week what would be better for Stanford, because Stanford has USC and Notre Dame. But now, looking at it, I think this is substantially better, because this one comes on the road, and that Arizona State win that they could potentially get if Arizona State wins the Pac-12 South and they get into that Pac-12 championship, that game could be a lot bigger, because now if USC does only lose three games and they prove themselves to be a real contender, how much better does that ASU win look? Oh, yeah. And then in turn, so all this, I mean, the computers are going to have to factor all these things in. But I think now we were saying that Stanford getting that win over Oregon might have been the biggest win out of this whole collection. Mm-hmm. Now you might be able to add this USC win in there as another big one, so yeah. Very important.
You know, Stanford comes into this game. They have won 10 straight games by 25 or more points. No team in the history of college football has ever done that. That's the kind of role they're on. So I think it's safe to say that the David Shaw era has picked up right where the Harbaugh era left off. The question is, it really is the first true road test for Stanford this season. They've played on the road, but this is the first combination of a quality opponent and a road team all in one. And we learned a little bit about Stanford, obviously, last week, because it was a ranked team that they played, technically. And depending on how you feel about Washington, the issue with Washington is they blew the doors off them so bad, especially with their rushing numbers, that kind of demolition almost devalues Washington as a program.
Right.
Washington always struggled with Nebraska, too. But it's just one of those things where, will we learn if David Shaw and this Stanford team are ready to win a national championship in a game like this, or will we devalue USC if they blow them out? I mean, at what point do we start to credit Stanford with just being able to line up and do it against anybody?
Yeah, we were having the same argument with the Wisconsin-Michigan State game. How much should Wisconsin win by? How much would it help to beat them by a little or beat them by a lot? Well, they didn't beat them at all. Right. So, obviously, yeah, Stanford's only going to be worrying about winning the game. But I don't know if USC will be devalued in the same way that Washington might. Simply because, you know, it's still USC. But that is a crazy thing that when I've been looking at this game, you know, you look at the fact that Stanford has won three of the last four, and you know, again, with the whole Harbaugh-Carroll rivalry was really good for a couple of years there. I don't know that I've ever seen an example in college football or any sport for that matter that two programs have so drastically switched power rankings. I mean, it was 2007. It was only 4 years ago that Stanford went into the Coliseum as a 39-point underdog and pulled off one of the biggest upsets in Pac-12 history.
Wasn't it like the number one upset line-wise in the history of college football?
Yes, and that was 4 years ago. Yeah. And Harbaugh turned a 1-11 team into a national title contender last year, and they've obviously carried that into this year, and then with the sanctions that came down on USC, they went from a perennial Pac-10 powerhouse and a perennial national title contender to a team that's only won 8 or 9 games over the last couple of years. It looks like they're back. It looks like they're weathering that storm. But it just boggles my mind that Stanford is over a touchdown favorite on the road against USC when, from 2002 to 2009, they were never less than a double-digit underdog. It's just one of those crazy things.
Unbelievable. And the thing is, you know, last year, as good as Stanford was, it was a 37-35 game in this series in Palo Alto. And, you know, Stanford needed a field goal to win it, and they got it. What's interesting is USC now, they're running the ball a little bit here with Curtis McNeil and Mark Tyler, who looked healthy enough last week, and I'm assuming he'll be back in there again and feeling good. And if they can run the ball, I mean, Stanford, this is the 18th ranked total defense in the country. They're fourth in scoring defense, third in rush defense. And if somehow USC can muster up a run game, and then that frees up Woods and Marquise Lee, who's now a legitimate second option, Barkley's been playing better. Like, I give them a pretty good chance in this game, even though Stanford's coming off of not even needing Andrew Luck against a pretty good Washington team. They didn't even need Andrew Luck to be in the game. They could have lined anybody up at quarterback and run it for 446 yards, put up 65 points. They'll need Andrew Luck this week. I really obviously believe that. But Will USC be able to take advantage and galvanize the Coliseum again and get that home field advantage working and take last year's close game and turn it into a win? This, because to me, this is USC's Super Bowl game this year. This and the Oregon game are what is making it worth this season for USC.
Yeah, and USC has the added benefit, as much as this is like a Super Bowl for them, they have the added benefit of having nothing to lose.
Right.
I mean, there's no pressure on them. If they lose, so what? We didn't have anything anyway. You know, in college football, every loss is crippling, but even if USC wins out and finishes with the best record in the Pac-12 South, they don't get to go to the Pac-12 championship, so they have nothing to lose right here. So that's a dangerous proposition that Stanford has everything to lose, USC has nothing to lose. And then let's talk about Clemson at Georgia Tech. Now we've completely fallen out of love with Georgia Tech, especially you. You've had them as their disappointments as your surprise of the week, two straight weeks, but I'm actually concerned for Clemson this week. Do you share that sentiment?
Well, it depends. It all depends on what Georgia Tech team shows up, because you certainly think, look, if they're going to save their season at home, they better do it this week. I mean, Georgia Tech, when they're rolling, here's where I think you're right, because this Georgia Tech team, with what it does offensively, is the perfect poison for what Clemson likes to do on offense, because what Georgia Tech does offensively is keeps the opposing offense off the field when they're running the ball the way that they should be. Here's my issue, though. Tevin Washington, the quarterback that I talk about seemingly on a weekly basis for Georgia Tech, has lost his ability to throw at all. And as good as that triple option can be, if he's going to go, let me read you the last 3 weeks, 6 for 19, 2 for 8, and 6 for 12 passing, with no touchdowns in the last 3 games and 4 interceptions. As good as that running game can be, there's no way you keep a defense honest if you're doing that. Now, I don't know what happened. I'm worried that all of the critics that talk about getting game film, and if one defense can expose it on film, then similar defenses in a conference like the ACC with similar personnel can recreate it. And it seems like, unfortunately, that's what's happened the last 3 weeks, starting even with that Maryland game that they won. I hope that's not true, because I've defended Paul Johnson and that offense a lot, but will they be able to see Clemson, who has better personnel than these last 3 teams, even on defense, will they be able to get back to what they do philosophically?
2 things I like about Georgia Tech. Despite how terribly their offense has all of a sudden played, like we've said, they've gone from one of the absolute best in the nation to being completely solved. The defense has played great. Mm-hmm. The defense has really played great over the last few weeks. And when you consider how poor the offense has been, the opposing teams have had plenty of opportunities. They've kept those games close. Against Miami, against Maryland, against Virginia, not huge offenses by any stretch, but decent offenses. Nothing that comes close to Clemson, but I like the way Georgia Tech's defense is playing. But the other thing I like, as much as Georgia Tech may very well be quote-unquote solved, mm-hmm. Virginia has had a very solid defense this year, and we both kind of knew that Miami game was going to be trouble for Georgia Tech, because they're built, they're a fast defense if nothing else. They stymied Ohio State, and they stymied Georgia Tech. That was a bad matchup for Georgia Tech. Clemson is giving up 169 rushing yards a game. They're not a good rushing defense this year. And overall on defense, they gave up 45 points to Maryland and 38 points to UNC. Now, that doesn't matter when you're scoring into the high 50s, of course, and this offense looks unstoppable. But if you keep that offense off the field and you get this offense rolling again against a bad rushing attack,
that's the key, yeah.
I think there's a good reason why Georgia Tech is only a 4-point underdog here. I really am a bit concerned for Clemson. Georgia Tech has won 4 of the last 5 games against Clemson. It's a tricky game.
No, there's no question that if they can get that a triple option rolling, and like you said, if they can take advantage of that almost 170 yards a game that Clemson's giving up, keeping Taj Boyd off the field and out of rhythm, because this is a rhythm offense that's been in rhythm all season, but when they're not able to get on the field, or even if they get on the field and are down a couple of scores and are having to force things, I mean, you're right, and you know, this is a beat up team a little bit, because Dwayne Allen, the tight end, he's hurt. Andre Ellington, they may play, but I'm not sure if either one of them are healthy or ready to go. Taj Boyd's numbers have been off the charts. It's unbelievable.
I want to ask you this, because you know, we had a bit of a Heisman segment. I actually brought Taj Boyd up then when he was a little bit more of a sleeper. So, you know, props to us for seeing some of these sleeper guys before the nation got on board. But where is the Taj Boyd for Heisman movement. Where is it? I'm not saying that. I understand that this is a sick quarterback year. I mean, there are so many guys, and I'm not saying he deserves it over a guy like Andrew Luck. And the one issue in his game, the only issue in his game, really, is that he has a 61.9% completion rate as opposed to the 70% plus that Luck has and Moore has and Griffin III has. But he's seventh in the nation in passing yards with just under 2,400. He's tied for first in the nation with 24 touchdowns. He's only thrown three interceptions, and I just talked about Clemson's poor defense. This is Clemson's offense. Now, Sammy Watkins, of course, is a big part of that, too. But I'm saying they need him to be doing this every week. No disrespect to Andrew Luck, because he's the best player in college football. There's no questioning that. But like you just said, if you or I would have lined up under center last week, we would have beaten number 20 Washington, because we would have handed the ball off and they would have rushed the ball for 446 yards. Maybe without the threat of passing, they only rushed for 390 yards. Sure. But the point being, Stanford can beat you in other ways. They've got a top five defense. They've got a strong offensive line, a strong running game. Taj Boyd is this Clemson team. They're undefeated, and Clemson has a history and a reputation of always being that team that screws up. And you don't see it any more than that against Florida State when Taj Boyd was kind of falling over himself. And one of those three interceptions, he just throws the ball up in the air and Florida State picks it off and runs it in for six. And that looked like, oh boy, here goes Clemson again. But there has been no, oh boy, there goes Clemson again because of him. Yep. He's turned this team into a very legitimate threat to run the table, a national title threat. I'm not saying he should win the Heisman. I'm just saying, am I nuts to think that there should be a lot more noise for this guy?
Well, for the first time today, I've started to hear it, actually. It's like it finally is coming because they're ranked where they are. I actually would argue that Oklahoma and Wisconsin losing helped his Heisman campaign.
Oh, yeah, because Landry Jones out and Russell Wilson out.
It finally got them out and those teams out, and Clemson replaces them in the rankings, and he replaces them in the minds of Heisman voters. The thing is, I heard a comparison today that I kind of like, that this Clemson team is almost like a poor man's, and I don't mean poor man's in terms of ability, but poor man's in terms of the notoriety they're getting, a poor man's version of last year's Auburn team. The Auburn team last year was not, they didn't have a great defense coming in. Statistically, that they weren't that good of a defense. They had a quarterback that came on the scene like fire, but only in like a year. No one knew who he was before that. And they had some skill position players that made their names also. Taj Boyd isn't necessarily Cam Newton. I'm not going to compare him to Cam Newton.
Of course not.
But he is starting to put up the kind of numbers that if you really want to look deep into the Heisman race, why isn't Taj Boyd? I mean, these numbers are good for Andrew Luck. These numbers are good for Kellen Moore. These numbers are great for any quarterback. And with that team undefeated and ranked where they are, at some point he has to not only be in the conversation, but like towards the top of it.
Yeah, because he's done it against tougher opponents to this point. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you have heard some of those things today. I was taking a sabbatical from some of the media after the crazy weekend. So yeah. I'm glad it's getting out there somewhere and you're running the option.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely. But exactly, I don't want him to be mentioned as a dark horse. I want him mentioned in the top three, yeah. Top five. I think he deserves it. He deserves to be in there with the Trent Richardson and Andrew Luck conversation, in my opinion, yeah. At least until they lose a game. So
the one takeaway I'll say
sure.
with both of these teams, Stanford and Clemson, and getting back to Boise State, who's sitting pretty at number four right now, and as of this moment, they're an Oklahoma State loss away from getting themselves really into the discussion. But Clemson and Stanford, with these high-profile road tests, do you think that they both pass Boise State, who's idle this week, not playing? Some people would say Boise State's idle every week, but they really are idle this week. And would you think that Stanford and Clemson can jump them both and get into that 4 and 5 spot themselves?
I think Stanford would. I think Clemson wouldn't because of Georgia Tech's falling off the map in the last couple weeks. And it's a shame for Clemson because this game's going to play out the same way either way. But I don't know that Georgia Tech this year is enough to jump that high. They'd have to jump a couple. I mean, although then again, you know, Clemson's number 5 and Stanford's number 6. So I'm saying I could see Stanford jumping from 6 to 4, and I see Clemson staying put or dropping a spot. So
that's what makes
I don't know. It is very interesting.
I looked at the BCS rankings this week, and then I started thinking about what we're going to have this next Monday, and I just couldn't figure out if the voters will allow them to both, because the voters still like Boise State enough, but will the computers and the voters allow those teams to jump over Boise?
If we know anything, we know that history tells us that the polls and the coaches and everybody have no problem jumping Boise State when they don't do anything wrong. So whether it's this week or in the weeks to come, we'll find out. Absolutely. But let's wrap these two games up, because we've got a lot more games to talk about. But just for this week, since we're talking about so many games, such a big week in college football, I just kind of want to get a rating scale, an upset rating scale, and we'll see, you know, if we match up here. 1 to 10, 1 being not much of an upset chance at all, 10 being it's going to happen, this upset's going down. How much of an upset threat do you consider USC over Stanford?
For me, you know, and maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, I don't know, but I just really like what I've seen from USC, and I don't know that Stanford got the kind of test last week against Washington that they – it's kind of almost symbolic or similar to Wisconsin going to Michigan State. I don't think they were tested nearly to the degree they needed to be going into that game, and they still
played
well.
And the Nebraska game was almost their Washington game.
So I almost see it like that. I'm going to say a 7. I think if USC can get a ground game going, and if they can somehow stop the run, if they can do whatever it takes to stop the run and make Andrew Luck pass on third down, third and long, things like that, that maybe Monty Kiffin has the answer to at least dial up enough to get into a shootout, and they go into a similar 37-35 game, and maybe they're on the field goal winning end of it.
See, I have it as a 4. Right. I think Stanford's going to go in and beat USC, but it is scary, the parallels. Because all week I have been writing articles about the Stanford-USC game, and I keep talking about how dominant Stanford has been. You talked about 10 straight 25-plus point wins, and we were saying all the same things about Wisconsin. They were untested, and then they're going out against a big road team. But I think the difference is Stanford, to me, personnel-wise, putting aside those numbers, because you could easily say, you know, that's all depends on your opponents, and because Stanford's played weak opponents, you know, well, we don't actually think they have, say, the 17th best rushing attack in the nation. But you've got two of the best quarterbacks in the nation, Stanford's is better. Yep. Two great offensive lines, Stanford's is better. Defense, Stanford's is better. And offense, running game, Stanford's is better. I just like Stanford better at every position, despite the fact that I don't think there's a huge discrepancy. Mm-hmm. I just think Stanford's slightly better at every position, and it's a veteran-led team, and they're comfortable. They've won in the Coliseum before, so there's enough here that I don't think Stanford's going to fall into the same trap. But hey, last week I didn't give Michigan State much of a chance either, so we'll see. But I have that as a 4. And what about Clemson, Georgia
Tech?
Well,
for me, this is a 4, because the only reason I say it is I don't think Clemson has enough statement games left on their schedule that they're going to overlook this one. I think they circled it at the beginning of the year. Like you said, they have a history of losing to this team. I just don't see Clemson, and I think Clemson's a better football team. I like Clemson's personnel. I love where Dabo Swinney's at with this team, and I just think that they are looking at what they have left, and they're like, it's this game, it's South Carolina, and it's the ACC title game. If we think we're the kind of team that we are, we're going to go on the road and make this one go away pretty quick.
Yeah, I got this one as a 7. I guess we're just going back and forth. I think Georgia Tech has a really good shot in this one, and I think you're spot on that they're obviously not going to overlook this game, and they know that it's a scary game. But the fact that Georgia Tech has been down the last 3 games concerns me, because it's human nature. It's not a matter of preparation. I don't doubt that Clemson's going to be prepared. I don't doubt they're the more talented team. But it's human nature to look at this Georgia Tech team and say, this machine is out of gas, yeah, and we're going to go in and beat them.
Yeah.
And if Clemson goes in a little overconfident and Georgia Tech all of a sudden becomes the Georgia Tech from a month ago,
yeah,
it's going to be the game we thought it was going to be
right
a month ago. Yeah. And I think Georgia Tech is going to do that. Yeah. But the groundwork has clearly been laid out to beat this team. Right. So if Clemson plays the role,
I want to like Georgia Tech. I can't like a quarterback that's not even completing 50% of his passes.
No,
it's just too hard to go with that.
Please don't read me those stats again. I wouldn't keep it a 7.
Right.